Hello, and welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America, designed for people like you who are learning American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz in Washington. Every day of the year on this program, we bring you news from and about the United States and the world. Because this program is produced for learners of American English, like you, we speak a little slower than normal, and we use words and phrases that are easy to understand. Listen to the program, then practice saying the words and sentences the way we do. It's a free and easy way to improve your American English skills every day of the year. This is what you will hear on today's program. Dan Friedel will tell us about a program that began 20 years ago to encourage fathers to spend more time in American schools. It now operates in more than 5,000 schools. I'll tell you about a new study that finds millennials around the world are optimistic about the future, but worried about how technology threatens their privacy. Marcia James will tell us about a group of scientists in Great Britain who are working to develop a medicine from poisonous insects. They are researching whether the insect's deadly venom can fight bacteria that make people sick. Jill Robbins will tell us about a new study that shows citrus fruits like oranges, lemons, and grapefruit in a diet could reduce the chance of chronic diseases that are related to obesity. And Anna Mateo will be here with her weekly health report. The subject this week is food as medicine. Anna will tell us about a woman who has published a cookbook to help people suffering from inflammation in the body, such as arthritis.
I think it's something that you're eating, and since you cook for a living, why don't you go and figure out what's going to make you feel great and share it with other people?
And that is what she did.
So you can see, as always, we have a lot for you today. So let's get started.
A group called the National Center for Fathering launched a program for American men almost 20 years ago. The program is called Watch DOGS. DOGS stands for Dads of Great Students. The program tries to get men to spend more time serving as volunteers at schools across the United States. Most of the men are fathers, but they can also be grandfathers, uncles, and stepfathers. The program was the idea of two men, both dads. They launched Watchdogs after two boys, aged 13 and 11, shot and killed four people at an Arkansas school in 1998. Studies show that children generally do better in school when fathers are engaged in their day-to-day activities. One study in 2013 found that a father's engagement can help a child succeed in school. It can also increase the child's chances of finishing high school while reducing his or her risk of drug abuse. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported the findings. The Watchdogs program now operates in more than 5,000 schools. It requires that men serve as school volunteers at least one full day during the school year. The men do a little bit of everything during their volunteer days. Some help to direct cars and other vehicles entering school property to drop off children. Others will have a meal with small groups of children. This seems to help boys and girls behave better while out of the classroom. During the rest of the day, the men can read to students, help teachers with activities, or assist with small group projects. Adam Mahmood volunteers at a school in Northern Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C. Mahmood is a single father with three sons. His own father died when he was very young. So Mahmood says he wants to be sure to be a good father. He has been a Watchdogs volunteer for 3 years. These days, he says, technology can take over a child's life. It is harder for parents to find time to connect with their children. But the school day is free from video games and smartphones. Adam Mahmood said he and other men see how interactions that may seem small can help children learn the right way to do things. I see my sons do very thoughtful things, and hopefully part of the reason for that is because I try to do things for others too, Mahmood said. I'm Dan Friedel.
A new public opinion survey of young people around the world finds they are optimistic about the world and support progressive or liberal values. The study of people between the ages of 18 and 35 is the first World Economic Forum Global Shapers Annual Survey. People in that age group who answered researchers' questions are known as millennials. More than 26,000 millennials from 181 countries answered the survey in 9 languages. They include business leaders, students, police officers, rich people, and those who have little money. The World Economic Forum says the results tell about the thinking, priorities, and concerns of young people from all areas of the world. Adeyemi Babington Ashay heads the World Economic Forum's Global Shapers Community. He says the results show that young people believe the world offers many opportunities. He says they also believe that technology has an important part in creating jobs. He says millennials have a sense of unity and believe they share a destiny, the things they will experience in the future. He says many of those asked support technology, but are worried about it too.
Although they embrace technology, it is an overwhelming percentage said that they were either concerned or very concerned about privacy. More than 70% said they avoided downloading applications for privacy concerns as well.
These young people believe corruption and a lack of accountability are the most serious problems in their countries. Accountability is the belief by those in government that they must explain their actions or decisions. Millennials expect their leaders to take action while acting with honesty, humility, and transparency. Millennials believe climate change is the most serious problem facing the planet, followed by wars, religious conflicts, and poverty. Babington Ashay says people working on the poll were surprised by the sympathy so many millennials have for refugees. He says 67% of those asked have a positive view of refugees.
So not only do they have empathy, but 73% would welcome refugees to their country. And you can see it grades down to their city, their neighborhood, and we even have 22% saying they'd welcome refugees to their home.
The survey found that millennials prefer to use laptop computers for emailing and online shopping, but they prefer their smartphone for social media activities. More than half said they strongly support same-sex marriage, although most young people in the Middle East and Africa do not. 50% of those asked believe they can affect how decisions are made in their country, but only 44% of Europeans believe they can.
To most of us, medicine comes from a drugstore. But originally, much of the medicine developed in the last century came from natural sources, plants, bacteria, and fungi. Now, a group of scientists in Great Britain are hoping to develop a medicine from poisonous insects. They are researching whether the deadly venom of some insects can work against bacteria that make people sick. About 400 insects live in plastic containers in the Venom Tech Laboratory. Each container has an image of a skull and crossbones. The images warn that a bite from the insects inside can be anything from painful to downright deadly. The venom from these insects contains hundreds of chemical components. Each component has a different target and effect. Medical researchers, such as VenomTech Managing Director Stephen Trim, separate the venom into its component parts. Then they create a library of those components, looking for the ones that could be turned into new drugs.
Some of them we've found actually can kill bacteria, bacteria like E. coli and Staphylococcus that are very relevant at the moment where modern medicines is failing. And we're also finding venoms that are modifying and killing cancer cells.
Finding new ways to kill bacteria is important to researchers. One reason is because people have used antibiotics so much that some bacteria can now resist it. For example, tuberculosis used to be curable with antibiotics. Now it is not. To get as much venom as possible, researchers feed the insects well, then put them to sleep temporarily. Stephen Trim of VenomTech says researchers anesthetize the invertebrates to make removing the venom safer. After all, an immobile insect cannot bite. Anesthetizing the insect is better for the animals as well, says Trim. Researchers then electronically stimulate the insect to contract the muscle and squeeze the gland. The pressure produces a small amount of venom. Researchers separate the venom into hundreds of proteins. Each protein contains between 1 and 5 different molecules. Someday, those tiny molecules might be turned into powerful new drugs. I'm Marcia James.
Citrus fruits like oranges, lemons, and grapefruit in a diet could reduce the chance of chronic diseases that are related to obesity, according to a new study. Citrus fruits contain antioxidants. New research is giving more evidence about how antioxidants protect the cells inside one's body. There is a substance in citrus fruits called flavonoids. Flavonoids are antioxidants that help people's bodies reduce the amount of stress. The diseases linked to obesity are caused by stress and inflammation. Paula Ferreira is a researcher at the Universidade Estadual Paulista in Brazil. She did the research and spoke of the results. We can use citrus flavonoids, a class of antioxidants, to prevent or delay chronic diseases caused by obesity in humans, said Ferreira. Researchers also discovered citrus could help people who are not obese but eat a Western-style diet, she said. A Western-style diet includes foods with fats and red meat. Researchers say antioxidants found in fruits and vegetables, such as citrus flavonoids, help keep a good balance of chemicals in the bodies of animals that eat a high-fat diet, even when they are under stress. Ferreira said, "The best way to get antioxidants is to drink them. Millions stay healthy by drinking orange juice each morning."
Any the citrus juices, because citrus juice has high amounts of this compound.
The experiment by Ferreira and colleagues involved 50 mice. They fed the mice either a normal diet, a high-fat diet, or a high-fat diet with 3 flavonoids. Researchers found the mice that ate a high-fat diet, but no flavonoids, had significantly higher levels of cell damage. The experiment lasted 1 month. Researchers now plan to conduct human studies. Researchers want to see whether it is healthier to give citrus flavonoids in juice or pill form. The researchers presented their findings at the American Chemical Society's annual meeting in Pennsylvania. I'm Jill Robbins.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. Food as medicine is not a new idea. The ancient Greek physician Hippocrates is commonly quoted as saying, "Let food be thy medicine, and medicine be thy food." Hippocrates is often called the father of modern medicine, even though he was born around 460 BC. But modern medical research confirms
that certain foods can help cure, prevent, or even cause some diseases. That is the subject of a new book called Anti-Inflammation Cookbook by Amanda Hawes. Hawes is a professional cook. Before we talk about her book, let's first talk about inflammation. Before we talk about her book, let's first talk about inflammation. Inflammation is a natural response of our immune system. It is a condition in which a part of your body becomes red, swollen, and painful. Neil Bernard is an associate professor of medicine at George Washington University's Medical School. When he explains how inflammation affects the human body, it sounds as if he is talking about a war zone.
It's the body's way of attacking an invader. So if bacteria or viruses enter the body, inflammation is a way of knocking them out.
Dr. Bernard also says that when inflammation becomes chronic, the body turns against its own tissue. He compares it again to war. He uses the term friendly fire. This is when a soldier accidentally fires upon his own troops.
It's the biological equivalent of friendly fire. So, for example, in rheumatoid arthritis, the joints are inflamed, and that's not a bacterium that's being attacked. It's the lining of your own joint. So that's where inflammation becomes a problem.
Rheumatoid arthritis was one of several conditions that Amanda Haas suffered from. She went to an allergist to try to find out what was wrong with her body. An allergist is a doctor who is an expert in the treatment of allergies. And an allergy is a medical problem that causes someone to be sick after eating, touching, or breathing something that is harmless to most people. The allergist suggested that perhaps her health problems were caused by the food she was eating.
Things like chronic heartburn and stomach pains and back problems. And it was an allergist who said to me one day, Amanda, these are just all different forms of inflammation in your body. I think it's something that you're eating. And since you cook for a living, why don't you go and figure out what's going to make you feel great and share it with other people?
And that is what she did. She stopped eating some kinds of sugars and reduced the amount of caffeine she drank. Haas found that some healthy foods were also causing her some problems. People with joint pain from inflammation, she says, could be sensitive to peppers, tomatoes, and eggplants. Haas is a professional cook, so she started to look closely at the ingredients she often uses in her recipes.
Things that we all probably know we shouldn't have too much of. Things like refined sugars, too much caffeine. You know, a lot of people, if you have joint and arthritic issues, you can be sensitive to peppers and eggplants and tomatoes. And I had so much to work with.
She uses a lot of green leafy vegetables, spices, and citrus in her cooking to make it anti-inflammatory.
And I wanted people to understand that eating an anti-inflammatory diet can be delicious. It's just you're going to be using a lot of green leafy vegetables as you can get. I use a lot of spices, fresh herbs as well. You'll see me use a lot of citrus and natural sweeteners like a little honey or maple syrup. You won't see me use a lot of refined sugar at all.
In her anti-inflammation cookbook, Haas shares many of her vegan recipes along with others that use animal protein. A vegan diet does not include any animal meat or animal byproducts, such as milk or eggs. She explains that most people who are trying to eat an anti-inflammatory diet will not eat much animal protein. But she says that grass-fed beef has omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids. Those are good for the body.
I learned so much about grass-fed beef. So the thing that's so fascinating is that if cattle is grass-fed, The meat has a lot of the omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids that we find in salmon and other oily fish that are so good for us. So most doctors would say 4-ounce portion or less. You know, it can be a really great part of an anti-inflammatory diet.
One of the author's favorite recipes in her book is her grandmother's Country Captain's Chicken. The dish has lots of turmeric, a spice that is known for reducing inflammation in the body. She also uses black pepper in the recipe, but not just for flavor. Haas says the black pepper makes it easier for the body to use the turmeric. She calls this bioavailability.
And one little thing to note that's interesting is that turmeric is well known for being very anti-inflammatory, but to increase the bioavailability of it, if you add black pepper, it actually becomes more effective.
Haas even made sweets and desserts healthier by changing the fat she used. She explains that her chocolate coconut brownies use coconut oil instead of butter. Unrefined, pure coconut oil, she says, can help lower cholesterol levels. And the coconut oil gives the brownies what she calls the most incredible texture.
They have coconut oil in them as the fat source. And, you know, we thought coconut oil was bad for us, but that's because it was being so refined. And now we're finding out that good coconut oil can potentially lower our cholesterol. And so they're just these amazing brownies that have the most incredible texture with the coconut oil in them.
Dr. Bernard says he is happy to see more people becoming aware of the importance of eating healthy, especially eating a more plant-based diet.
We always favor a vegan diet, a plant-based diet. We want to emphasize some of these foods, such as the healthy nuts or seeds, and getting away from greasy stuff. And unfortunately, the medical world tends to rely on prescriptions, and we sometimes neglect things that can be more natural, safer, and in the long run, more effective.
Cutting out foods that may be making you sick is one way to make that ancient advice, let food be your medicine, useful in your modern daily life. I'm Ana Mateo.
That's our program for today. We'd like to hear what you think of it. You can send us an email. Our address is learningenglish@voanews.com. Or send us a message through our website. Just go to learningenglish.voanews.com and click Contact Us. While you are there, you can read, listen to, and download our programs. You will also find captioned videos and lessons to test your American English skills. Please know that however you reach us, we do read every message you send. While you are visiting our website, you can also read and listen to longer versions of the stories that you have just heard on this program. You can follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, iTunes, Twitter, and on our YouTube channel, all at VOA Learning English. And be sure to listen to VOA World News at the beginning of every hour, Universal Time, every day of the year. We hope this program has informed and entertained you and has helped you learn everyday American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz in Washington. For all of us here at VOA Learning English, thanks for spending some time with us today. I hope you'll join us tomorrow for another Learning English program from The Voice of America.